It's just, it's horrendous. I really despise professing Christians. I think they are the most detestable people on the entire planet. No wonder. I mean, no wonder Christianity has gotten such a bad name. I'm ashamed sometimes to call myself a Christian based on what the world defines Christian and how other people define Christianity today because of how they've been treated. Had I not turned around, I would have never met them today. I got all the way up on the secret trail. It's the first time I've been on the secret trail in months. Oh, praise God in heaven. And also the lady was convicted. She was convicted about saying that, you know, gosh, that makes me wonder about us. We're not maybe suffering as much. And so I wanted to be light and let her self-discover it when they go through the recordings. But I also, I didn't want them to be so discouraged, but she's really onto something. It's true that you do have to suffer. And then that's when they brought up this situation they're going through right now. God's putting them into a fire. It's about 8:35 in the morning on Sunday morning, August 28th, 2022. And I just thought for old time's sake, I'd put a video up and put the video camera up here on the tree and just capture a few, hopefully last moment memories of being out on this trail. We have had a tremendous amount of spiritual attack in the last 48 hours. Lisa's been under attack 4 times. Two of them were comments. Another thing was just a personal insecurity fear that Satan tried to hit her with. I forget what the other one was. Then obviously just the general sense of still being totally exhausted. August 25th, we really had hoped something would happen and nothing did. So we've just kept going. And then I just received, it's really incredible, yesterday I received 2 very long emails from a person who has been commenting apparently and following one of the YouTube channels that was set up to basically call me a false teacher and a heretic. And the person apparently had been making comments and bantering back and forth. I find that really sad for people that there's a website out there that people are wasting their time talking about me as if I'm anybody, truly. It's pretty remarkable that somebody set up a YouTube channel almost entirely just to put together clips about me that I just find, wow. I think Satan maybe thinks more highly of me sometimes than the Lord does. So I received 2 very long emails from that person yesterday, and I just replied with the typical Nehemiah, I'm carrying on a great work, I don't have time to come down and talk about these things. And Nehemiah was constantly being antagonized and intimidated to try to stop the work. So I was respectful to the person. I believed the person was being sincere, and I just dismissed it quickly. And then the person replied back, and I didn't even email it. Threw it away. And just the timing of these things is always incredible. 10 days ago, I received an email from a person saying that, you know, I needed to burn the tiny house regarding soul ties. Just this really ridiculous, very ignorant teaching of men. I've made a big long recording about how unbiblical this is, how false this is, how destructive this is, what a lie this is. It has no biblical precedent in the New Covenant particularly whatsoever. And I gave all the biblical reasons and explanations and principles and biblical arguments that show how foolish this thinking is. Nevertheless, men just cannot deny themselves to go beyond what is written. And then those who have itching ears cannot help themselves but to go and listen. And 10 days ago, I got that email. I rebuked the person sharply because it had been somebody that followed the ministry for years. To my amazement, I received another burn your tiny house email today, the 28th of August. 1 year ago today, I was supposed to have arrived in New Zealand. And 8:28, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big day. It was a number that had come out of my mouth on May 9th, 2021, when I was in prayer and I gave the what I felt were prophetic dates, 9/11, 7/11, 8/28. Those are the 3 dates that came out of my mouth, and 9/11 being the big one. And 8:28 was the day my plane was supposed to land last year in New Zealand, 5 minutes after midnight. So then today I get this another burn the tiny house email. And I just can't even believe the timing of them. And you see more and more I find the illustration appropriate that everywhere I go, I'm looking over my shoulder. Not like literally, but like from a comment, email standpoint, I told Lisa, I never can rest. It's always, you have to look over your shoulder. Always, any minute, somebody can show up with something and you have to constantly be on guard. This morning, I was really thankful for a message that Lisa had sent me. I think it was a September 1st, Streams in the Desert, about how the only real danger at sea is a calm, because it doesn't work for you in any way, and that even very violent opposing winds can be used to help take you north, south, east, or west. And I've learned this in some sailing days I had when I was growing up on the beach, that you can tack and go directly, you can use a wind that's directly at you to go back and forth and actually get to your destination with an opposing wind, where if it's totally calm, you can't get anywhere. And I just see how such a parallel that is for the Christian life, how I've gotten here where I'm at today so many times from all of the afflictions and the violent winds that blow, and these remarkable timed emails and strikes from Satan. They always drive me to prayer, and so they end up blowing me heavenward. If you have the right attitude and you see them correctly, they always work, sanctified afflictions for our good. Lisa and I were talking about that yesterday. She had noticed somebody in the comment section that seems to be always not putting in the, I'm being afflicted, but God is taking care of me. And I said, oh yes, you see, there's not a person who their heart is looking like a curse. They might have unforgiveness, grumbling, bad attitude, something like that in the way, and they're not receiving the grace of God to sanctify that affliction. And it's not working for their good. It's constantly grinding them down. I said, you see, where we go through a terrible fire and we say, oh, this hurts. I said, but look, within hours usually, or even sometimes minutes, it's being turned around as something that's being used for our good. That's how you can always know if you're right with Christ, is what is the fruit of your heart, not the conditions of your circumstances. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the very guy who in 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, a curse be on all who love Jesus. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and you're looking only with the eyes of temporal, only with the eyes of nature, you would look at that and say, Paul, you're a victim of what you preached. Your life is clearly a curse, man. You cannot reconcile 1 Corinthians 16:22 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11 coming from the same person without calling Paul a hypocrite, unless you're able to look below, as Jesus said, the surface, and make right judgments. And you look at what's the issue of the heart. The same person who's going through 2 Corinthians 11 says, I have lost all things. I consider all things a loss, rubbish, for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. So that's a condition of the heart. So the fruit of the heart is what tells us our condition with the Lord. So we talked about that yesterday. And then I also found myself today wanting to capture how I almost wish I could do a video called Weird Christians Not Allowed. And I think about how I've received more affliction and satanic attack from Christians than I have pagans, atheists, unbelievers. You name it. I was treated far better by pagans in India than I have been by people who call themselves Christians. And I think that one of the biggest problems on this earth are professing believers who are total hypocrites and live, even though they have all the doctrines and the words and they can spout the name of Jesus, they have no power in their life and they're nothing more than a religious shell. They are a whitewashed tomb, dead men's bodies and full of dead men's bones, and they go out and profess the name of Jesus Christ, and then they bring such shame on the name and person of Christ and the hope of eternal life. It's just horrible. And I literally think about how I have received more attack from people who call themselves Christians, these weird Christians. It should be against the law to be a weird Christian. I've had weird things happen to me, but I'm not weird. I just had a young lady at Starbucks who's known me now for the better part of a year. I don't ever try to be weird to them. I don't ever preach weird things, talk weird to them. I keep to myself. I don't do the evangelizing thing anymore that I used to do. And even then, I didn't do it weird. It was always just my testimony. And because I'm not weird, she opened up to me yesterday at the, or day before yesterday at the register, talking about how she's had to been put on anxiety medication. And that gave me an opportunity to talk to her about Jesus Christ and the truth of finding peace in Christ in this world. And hey, watch my story. And it was very natural. It wasn't anything weird about it. And I just think about how weird some Christians are, and they just really bother me. People can get so into watching YouTube and they start using the vernacular and they lose sight of what it means to be a human, to be like Jesus, to meet a person where they're at in the need. He always told them the truth. I'm the Lord. That's sin. You need to turn from it. But it wasn't weird. He didn't show up and start talking to people about generational curses and exorcising the demons out of their little hut and how, oh, this little object here has opened up a pathway in the spiritual realm to heavenly forces and spiritual forces in the dark realm to, you know, possess you and take over your whole family, and just this weird, crazy stuff that Christians come up with when they watch YouTube videos or read and learn about Christianity on the internet that has absolutely no biblical basis whatsoever in the scripture. And I tell you, weird Christians wear me out. I literally had the thought today, oh God, I want to put a sign up and put a video that says no weird Christians allowed. Again, if you're going to be a Christian, your life is going to, if you're going to truly follow the Lord, you're going to have some weird things happen to you. But it's different when weird things happen to you without you having to be weird. And I just tell you, I struggle more with weird Christians. It's almost like I'd like to apologize to the world's atheists and pagans and heathens and unbelievers for how weird Christians can be. And they have no living power, no living love, no living cross-carrying, self-denying, world-hating life behind their words. They only use the word to beat other people down, to lift themselves up. It's just, it's horrendous. I really despise professing Christians. I think they are the most detestable people on the entire planet. No wonder. I mean, no wonder Christianity has gotten such a bad name. I'm ashamed sometimes to call myself a Christian based on what the world defines Christian and how other people define Christianity today because of how they've been treated. It's horrible. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, and work with your hands. How I wish more Christians would do that. So anyhow, I had very subdued the day before yesterday, having listened to chapter 82, episode 82. Still feeling a little down, but still very expectant and hopeful. Could be at a place where nothing happens. We've expected something to happen by now, and it doesn't. And September 11th may come. I have to start preparing myself that although we have 14 signs pointing to September 11, it may come and nothing may happen. Today, I've woken up to a very, very interesting set of providences where I saw several numbers, 534 and 617, 1131, 854. And when I looked up the scriptures for them, they were quite remarkable. There very well could be a message of, you know, the promises are being fulfilled, be freed of your suffering. Jesus is promising resurrection and he will bring it. Your reward is just around the corner. I mean, it was really quite remarkable to see this morning. And of course, I'm trying to pay attention to the pillar of fire and the cloud and trying to be alert to when the Lord may be calling me. And one of them was, Jesus, get up, you know, go leave this place. There was another one about setting out. And so there's just this real theme I'm trying to capture this morning in my journal entries about that. And yet also holding the whole thing loosely. So it's like you have this obligation to stay in bondage, but without burning up too much energy of hope and expectancy, and just trying to really stay alert and stay ready and stay in the faith and believe that at any moment. I think I've lost all hope of being able to predict the date, which I've never really tried to. Again, I'm just trying to follow the providence, but there is a part of me that says, 9/11, For the Lord to get us to the lowest of the low, he'll let it come and go again and nothing will happen. I'm very excited about seeing what's going to happen, but at the same time feeling very reserved. Lisa and I both are just, oh God in heaven. I mean, we just feel that we're as hopeless as you can possibly get without truly having lost all hope. It is a remarkable journey we've been on. I can't even put it into words. I want so badly to go be with my wife, and I'm still stuck, but I still have hope. And when the due time comes, I will be set free. And I think that's all I have to say today. Oh, this is pretty neat. It is 8:54. Oh my goodness, wait a second. Wow, 8:54. This is the number I just mentioned in the video. And this is the number that I saw this morning. Oh man, praise God. I just made a video on the mountain 5 minutes behind me, the first one in months. And I specifically mentioned seeing the number combination 617, 1331, and 854 this morning. This is such a blessing, Lord. Such a refreshing blessing. I am just getting ready to make a recording talking about how hopeless this whole situation looks. And I was thinking about how we're down to like 13 days until September 11. And I thought, well, let me see exactly what time we have left. And I opened up the countdown timer. To my amazement, it was 14 days, 0 hours, and like 34 minutes. And I looked up and I took a screen capture of that with 8:54 being the time. And this is most likely a reference to the 1 Kings 8:54, but there's another one as well about resurrection. Jesus saying, "Get up, little girl. Rise up." It's Luke 8:54 where he's raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. Everybody's made fun of him and laughed and said, "Ah, you fool." You know, basically, the child is dead. And he says, no, the child's not dead, but asleep. And they laughed at him. And he says to her in Luke 8:54, he said to the child, "Get up, my child." And she is raised from the dead. And then there's 1 Kings 8:54 about King Solomon standing up and saying that not one word of all the promises of God has failed, that God has now done exactly what he said. And I was just getting ready to make this message, and it's really incredible that I have the timer set to count down to September 11, 9:29 a.m. 9:29, it will be to you according to your faith, Matthew 9:29. So that happened to be exactly 14 days and 0 hours while I'm on the trail. That is so incredible. 14 days, 0 hours, and 34 minutes, I believe it was. Maybe it was 35 minutes. And I'm just amazed by that. I just am so thankful. And this, what I'm wanting to capture, I'm kind of at a little bit of a loss for words at this point. Everything just feels very slow, very low. I have been in prayer very slow, very low. I've just recorded in the 14-minute video about the attacks that have come in the last 48 hours, which have been, they're remarkable. I texted a friend of mine this morning. I said, "Brother, we're getting closer." I said, "Look at these things that have all happened in the last 48 hours, including this morning, another one of these ridiculous emails, ignorant notion that my tiny house is filled with demons and I need to burn it." It's just one of the most foolish, embarrassing things that I could ever imagine, having somebody tell me. And this is what happens when you allow YouTube to do your spiritual teaching for you. All these foolish men who add to the Word of God exact opposite of what Paul commanded you not to do. Do not go beyond what is written. And the notion of all this soul tie absolute nonsense, even greater depth of ignorance to suggest that demons can inhabit the home of a Christian, like the physical home. It's just absolutely pathetic. Like as if they live inside the timbers, they live inside the wood. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Go read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and then send Paul your YouTube videos and show him you finally found the answer to all his problems. You finally can help him see why he's in direct violation of 1 Corinthians 16:22. So his first letter he writes, "All be a curse upon those who do not love God." He pronounces a curse upon those who don't love Jesus. And then when you go read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, how could you not conclude with the flesh that that's a curse that's on his life? Who's ever suffered like that? No one. Can't even get my head around it. And so instead of looking at our situation and seeing that God is testing our faith, oh no, this is, you're being held back by demons and generational curses, and you've got clear links to Satan through the physical house that she used to live in. So getting off of that subject, I was going to grab my recorder, and I think I'm going to turn around. I think I've hit enough spider webs. Yeah, I think I'm just going to head back and not go that way. So anyhow, I have had this real melancholy the last couple of days. Yesterday I was a lot better. Lisa sent some really good streams in the desert. Man, do I love my wife. No wonder God has had to make us suffer so much. It would be an absolute crime for God to have given us something. We would be like thieves. We would live the rest of our life. Honest to goodness, I haven't thought of this like that. My conscience would condemn me as a thief if I received a wife as good as Lisa is without having to pay a huge bride price for her. Just as Lisa was reading to me this morning about the streams, they were so incredible, about sailing in strong stormy winds that are against you. And the writer points out that the only thing you can that can cause a real trouble at sea is absolute dead calm. They probably call it dead calm for a reason. Nothing's moving, but you end up dead if you don't get a wind. That's the truth. A sailboat can do nothing in dead wind, but even with the fiercest opposition winds, it can actually tack back and forth and make progress. It's amazing how sailing works. It really is quite amazing when you think about it. So, and I've actually done it, like firsthand experience, trapped at sea, winds against us, stuck out at sea, 15 years old, in a boat that's cracking in half, a little sailboat we'd found on the side of the beach for months and finally decided to commandeer a ship. And we went out and we made our way right back into Port Canaveral with the wind straight offshore because we knew how to tack. We knew how to go left for a while and then right for a while. Left for a while and then right for a while. And it's just incredible that you can do that in a sailboat. And the writer was talking about how these winds lift us to heaven. And I thought, wow, isn't it true that all of these strikes, these irritations that come, they drive me heavenward. They drive me to my knees. They drive me to this trail. They drive me to prayer. And they are an incentive for faith, as Charles Spurgeon said it. So opposing winds are actually an incentive to make forward progress. Without the wind, you go nowhere. And I just find what an incredible lesson that is. If we could see that all of these sometimes gale force winds, these irritations that are spiritually are blowing in our face from other people, difficult circumstances, these are all winds that are blowing us heavenward, and we don't realize it. People that come up with those kind of illustrations are having a wisdom of God that is just incredible and so beautiful. Like, it's easy for us to go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But the first person that comes up with something like that, that's just beautiful, absolutely beautiful of the Lord to reveal these kind of truths. I'm still here all alone in the woods. Most people don't know still, have I made it to New Zealand? People are sometimes conjecturing, and I haven't wanted to tell people because I don't want them to be discouraged. This is having to be drawn out farther than most people have imagined. And if I put all those recordings, I'm skipping so many, it would just wear people out. And it's just the same old repeated process, day after day after day after day. So I'm leaving out a lot of journal entries where we just are another battle, another battle, another strike, another this. One day, if God wills it, a super fun project for me would be to put together all of the satanic strikes and the timing thereof. Like just this past week, I've seen 666 twice, followed by within 20 hours, 22 hours, always within 24 hours, these strikes from people. And they think they're, you know, doing me some good. Michael, you need to burn the tiny house type of thing. And I would then show a video of all the timing of Satan's attacks. And I'd start out with the verse, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he cannot stand. So I would start with that, okay? And then I would show all just clip after clip after clip after clip after clip after clip after clip, hundreds. And through all of my journal recordings, Satan is attacked again. And you can see my whole life. Like, if I were a delusional idiot and making this up, my life would have ended up with me in the funny farm. If I believed that Satan was this active in my life and it was all just a delusion of mine, then the rest of my life would show the fruit of this guy can't even keep his head above water. This guy's complete mental basket case. He needs to be wrapped up, put away. And of course, there's many people who have thought that along the way. Nonetheless, I would want people to see that some of the greatest evidence of God is the opposition of Satan in our life. And the things I have show way beyond the coincidences of just difficulties. You can hear it. You can see it. You can see the timing of it. It's just absolutely incredible to see the timing of all of this. And all of those satanic attacks have actually been prevailing winds, headwinds that have gotten me spiritually to where I'm at today, where I have this testimony filled with power. If there is no powerful antagonist, there is no powerful protagonist. And the powerful protagonist is Jesus Christ in me, not me. But the left hand of God stirring up trouble to then be overcome and overpowered and bring glory to the right hand of God. This is what I see all throughout Scripture and all throughout my life. And it's just incredible. It's just incredible. But I would love to one day to really show people how real satanic and spiritual warfare is, how true it is. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but about principalities, powers, and dark forces and spiritual forces in the heavenly realms, evil forces. And have people see. And then you can say, okay, so if I'm a false teacher, where's all this antagonism coming from? Is Satan driving out Satan? Well, then you, Mr. Christian, you've just violated the teaching of Jesus Christ. If you really believe Satan is this committed to driving himself out, because what am I preaching? I'm preaching a gospel to overcome that Satan, carrying your cross, denying yourself, losing your life to find it, the narrow path. So Satan would be divided against himself. No, the more likely narrative, the biblical narrative, the 2,000-year Christian history narrative is, there's a real devil who hates the real Jesus and hates the real servants of the real Jesus. And he strikes and he blocks and he attacks, and God allows it because it's a left hand working against the right. It validates the right hand's work. I mean, there's no doubt about it. God's left hand validates his right hand. It's truly remarkable. It brings more glory. When you see Jesus raised from the dead, you can see that was done by his right hand. And in the book of Acts, you can see God had preordained for them to kill the author of life, the Jews. That's his left hand at work. It's just remarkable. Just remarkable. And then God gets all the glory and all the credit, and everybody's blessed in the process. It's amazing. It is amazing. It is really neat to think about how Jesus didn't deserve 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. Jesus didn't deserve all the difficulties, the persecutions, the hardships that he faced, the loneliness, the homelessness, the financial poverty, oftentimes that he experienced. And then certainly he didn't deserve the cross. And so you can't look at Jesus and say, oh yeah, well, the Lord, you know, he knew he deserved it. Now, the Bible does say he was disciplining him, not punishing him, except for the fact that his punishment was actually for us. So he wasn't punishing him for his own sins, but he was punishing him for our sins. And how you get your head around that, I just don't even know. I mean, like, people say, oh, your life doesn't make sense. God's doing weird things. Okay, yeah, right. Well, how do you get sense out of what God did with Jesus? How do you make sense out of the cross? Let's just be honest. How do you reconcile that? No, you don't. You just accept it by faith. Yes, you can point to the biblical reason, but you cannot make sense to another human being as to why did God send himself in the form of his son to live like a pauper, even though he was a king, and to die like a criminal, even though he was a saint? Huh? You can't explain that to somebody in a way that they go, oh, okay, I get it. No, you can't. You can tell them the biblical reason. He died for our sins. He took upon himself, cursed to the one who's, you know, is hung on a tree, and he took upon the curse of sin upon himself and wanted to shed his blood to atone and sacrifice for our sins, because that's the way God required blood to cover over sins. There can be no forgiveness of sins without blood. And you can go into all the atonement of Christ and the death and resurrection, etc. But you're not going to make logical sense to anybody out of any of that. God could have easily just come and had, you know, Jesus Christ manifest himself in complete power and humble all the people before him, like all the people that do when they see an angel, they fall flat to their face. It's interesting how God never sent an angel to humble the Pharisees. He doesn't do that kind of thing, but God could have easily done that. And he could have pronounced himself with tremendous power. I am God, hear me roar. All you people fall flat on your face. Nope, he doesn't do that. He's saving that for the day of the Lord. Man, the ways of God are so deep, mysterious, untraceable, unsearchable, remarkable. And this recording is not making much sense. I'm not at all feeling any kind of an anointing. This is just me making noise, recording. And this is how it is sometimes. This is how it is sometimes. Boy, if I was a snake, I would want to live right in here. Right in here. So I am now standing here in these woods, persevering with my wife. Last night I had to let her go again, because I started just feeling that late night suffering so bad, you know, thinking, oh man, it just started feeling so hopeless. And I'm like, sweetheart, I have to go, honey. It's causing me more suffering. And I'm just going round and round the same bus. And we are just still suffering so bad. It's just suffering and like having no idea how long it's going to be. And yet we just keep, God, get us through. We prayed yesterday, Lord, just get us through. Jesus, just get us through. Just get us through, Lord. Give us the grace to get through. And we are very hopeful for that. And I'm still hopeful that something can happen, but I'm also starting to try to prepare myself that if 9/11 comes and goes and nothing happens, I won't fall off, you know, my chair. And you're just in this darkness. You have no idea what the next step is. You have no idea how God's going to do it. You still believe he's going to do it. You still know that you have a promise from God, and yet the circumstances and time are just screaming so loud. You are wrong. Nothing is going to happen. It hasn't happened many times before when you thought it did. What makes you think this time will be any different? You're going to be put to shame. And I had thoughts last night of coming to my mind of truly the ministry coming down permanently. And me saying to people, guys, I'm sorry, I just can't keep going. I just had this thought, like 9/11 comes and goes, nothing happens. And then what happens then? How am I going to continue to go on having no idea when it could possibly happen? And you are already with such little strength. I told Lisa, I said, I just think that we would just give up. And she goes, I don't know, honey. We're both pretty stubborn. I said, I know. I said, but what I mean is just give up all hope and just lay down like, oh God. I mean, true. It's, I said this at 9:40 at night or whatever, but I had some of those tempting thoughts to think, you know, that it's over and you're going to be proven a fool, that nothing came to pass. These are the temptations that come at you. Do you really think their father is going to deliver you? You know? And you have to throw those thoughts out. They come, they are real, and you have to fight against them. And you have to take up the shield of faith and remember what God has done. I told Lisa last night, I said, honey, just stand. Don't go backwards. Just stand where you're at and just remember what God has done. It's amazing how as time goes on farther and farther, the temptation is those memories get foggier and foggier. And I can also see how it plays a role in what God's doing of not wanting us to put up the video clips showing all the amazing things that God's done in my life in 20 years. He intentionally denied me to do that, giving Satan even more opportunity to gloat, to gain ground over me, to gain, take people captive, to stand against me, cause doubt in people's faith. And then when he's ready, he's going to lift up. But I have no idea. These could be just words. The truth is that you do not know until God comes through for you. You do not know. I have no way of knowing if what I'm saying and my hopes for 9/11 is really a prophetic mark from God, or if I am just simply, you know, speaking hot air. You have no idea. That's what faith is. You have no sign. There is no circumstance. I mean, look at this. I pray for this man's back, pray a powerful prayer of healing for him, tell him about the gospel of Jesus Christ, etc. We hear nothing back from him. And this is the friend of my friend who thinks maybe this guy could have been a lead to help get me to New Zealand. We hear nothing back from him. We've checked to see if the boat was sold. It's still online. And I said, well, sweetheart, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. It could be that the broker has left it on there to get leads for other. The ad hasn't expired and they haven't taken it down, or it could be they're in negotiations. We don't know. But how neat would it be to find out that he ended up buying the boat on like a marker day? You know, like if we find out, oh yeah, he bought the boat on August 25th. What? I mean, or something like that. That would be so incredible to find something out like that. But the thing is, we're at the mercy of God because of our faith. We have nothing to believe in. We cannot see anything. We have no reason to believe that I'm any. I mean, like, there's this story that's going on that I'm telling, but we don't know how the story ends. Does the story end with me being proven right, having trusted God, and God just really wore me out and tested our faith to the point that, like Jesus, you know, you lose all hope and you're crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which we've already cried out a few times, I feel. or am I going to find out that, you know, this is all, I've just been wrong? You don't know. I know by faith. I want to be clear on that. I know by faith, but you don't know an actual experience. Like that part of me that's human, that's right now walking on this trail and having to watch where I put my step and etc. That part of me has no evidence whatsoever that I've done anything but play the fool. That I will be wrong. How could I just be sitting here doing nothing? This is the thing that drives people crazy, is they don't understand. Why haven't you brought Lisa to America? I'm like, you don't understand. That's not the way it works. Walking by faith is a step at a time, a moment in time, a day at a time. And God doesn't give you the light for the next week or even the next day. He gives you just what you have for today. That's what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. You're not just, oh, I know, let's just find another way. No, we're not going to deliver ourselves. People don't realize that is sin. That's how far short what we call Christianity today has been, is that we've all been taught we can just believe in Jesus and go live our life how we want. We don't have to actually wait for him to make decisions, wait for him to act in our behalf, Isaiah 64:4, etc. We just get to go do what we want, and we hang Jesus and our belief in him like a good luck charm or a rabbit's foot on our plans and say, Lord, bless it. That's not what Lisa and I are doing. That's not the example we're living. We're living the example of you wait for God to act in your behalf, and that means you are going to suffer. And in the meantime, while you're waiting, he allows Satan to come and mock, ridicule, distract, to harass, to persecute, to attack you in your dreams, to attack you in your thoughts. You become essentially like a sitting duck, and you look so vulnerable. You're not moving anywhere. Nothing's happening. And Satan is just sitting there. Thop, 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 thop. You're in the middle of the field. You're walking all alone. You're right where God's asked you to do, but you're in the center of a storm. And if Jesus doesn't wake up, you'll drown. That's what it feels like. Lord, do you not know we're going to drown here? And yet, below the surface, I have all this peace that just, there's this knowing, not about the date, but about the result, that I will not be put to shame, that I know that I know that I know. This is this incredible duality experience that you have as a Christian, the Galatians 5:17 of the flesh warring against the spirit. But in me, the spirit is more powerful than my flesh. And so always, no matter how hopeless, no matter how dreadful, no matter how antagonistic, no matter how much the circumstances contradict, there's always this hope. Not the delusional hope of somebody who truly is delusional and mentally insane, but I have a track record of 20 years of this, and God always comes through for me. He does not come through for delusional people. He gives them common grace to like pagans and unbelievers, but they cannot point to remarkable prophetic answers to prayer or miracles in their life. They cannot point to a heart that's filled with grace and love and hope and perseverance of Jesus Christ. No, they are literally checked out and not able to distinguish reality from fantasy anymore. So just because a person has what looks like strong faith doesn't mean that they don't have a mental illness. In fact, most people with mental illness have extraordinary belief in God. I don't know about their faith, but a lot of them have extraordinary belief in God, it looks like. And it's mental insanity. So nonetheless, I am really still filled with this peace, just this knowing. I just don't know when. I don't know how. And that's also very exciting. I'm walking on this trail right now. I'm all alone. I'm in the position of total defeat. I'm in the position of total failure. I'm in the position where all of my mockers and haters and even unfaithful Christians would look and say, man, just deliver yourself. Or the haters would say, just come on, man, admit your defeat. This is what Satan wants you to do, to give up. And the person who would hear me say that, who believes I'm delusional, would say, yes, this is a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're in total denial. You're caught in this cyclical argument process, and you can't get out of it. You're using circular reasoning here, man, and you're stuck, and you're an idiot, and you're so forth and so on. And that's what it looks like, and there's no escape. You have to look like that. You have to look like a fool. There is no way to make faith look dignified until the promise of the faith comes to pass. There is no way. And that's another thing that God, I can see, is not allowing me to put those videos out there that show all the things God's done when he stopped me, is because that adds dignity to it. It would help prop me up. It would help prop people up, believers up, and all that. And God doesn't want it. He wants there to be total hopelessness, total darkness. And that's where I'm at right now. I have no idea if or how or when I will be saved. I mean, you're standing here with 14 days till 9/11. And incidentally, I'm just reminded that I have 14 markers pointing to 9/11. What are the chances of this? We have 14. That's two more than we had for 8/12, where God says, buy the land. Nothing else has happened with the land. It's still for sale. We've had no contact with the broker. We have no money to get it. I have not talked to that sister who God is using to dedicate some resources to us, no doubt, most likely to replace any inheritance that I had given up from my parents. I believe that that's what the Lord did, because the timing of when I told them I don't even want any inheritance, and then this lady showing up in our life saying that she feels led to give me this inheritance, and she had no idea that I had forgone my parents. That was clearly God meeting a need, and he now knows we have these financial needs. I have not spoken to her, and it'll be, today's Sunday, on Tuesday it'll be 2 weeks. I haven't texted or anything, so this Tuesday, so it's been a week and a half since I've had any contact with her. I'm being very, very careful in my conscience with her. I've told her that I'm very concerned about ever showing her favoritism. It's a sin. And so I said, look, I care a great deal about her. I know that she's got a remarkable story and a remarkable connection to the ministry with her faith, etc. And then her giving. But I've been very, very careful to not cross a line and making sure that I'm giving other people even more attention that, you know, when I can, that have not given anything ever to the ministry. The poor people, if you will. But Jesus warned about this. So I've been still struggling with, also, I don't want to prop her up in this. I want to see that God alone did it. there's a lot of evidence in her testimony of recent that this will be impossible, that there's no way God, that she could give me any money. She's tried. Her bank has told her flat out, I'm not sending the money to this guy. They're not going to send the money to me. They believe I'm a fraud. This is what they told her. And she is very afraid of confrontation. She struggles with it immensely. I've offered to contact the bank for her, and she said she felt that was probably an answer to prayer, but there's nothing else happening, and she's woken up in cold sweats multiple times. She's gone 3 times to the bank, once over the phone, 2 times in person, and the system is apparently not working. And of course, I know these are just lies. These are just lies that they're trying to protect their money and not see it go to some, you know, quote, fraudulent criminal person that they're claiming that I am, etc. It's just, anyhow, to see all of that, it will only be by the power of God. I told him, I said, Lord, I do not want to, I don't want to have to prop this person up. This is what I told her. I said, I don't want to have to prop this person up. So actually, let me take a pause here. People are coming. Yeah. My phone is already recording because I'm doing a journal entry. So you're telling me in 12 years of being on this trail, and I see you all the time. Mm-hmm. You're probably out here as much, if not more, than I am. How many times a week do you come out?
Well, I don't always come to this trail, but I'm out like at least 6 days a week.
6 days a week. So you've got me beat well over twice. Oh. You got me beat in time. Actually, 2011, so you're a year longer than me for me. Yeah. And you tell me you've never seen a rattlesnake.
Right.
That's really interesting because I just did a video on my YouTube channel where I show people. I'm a full-time Christian minister.
Oh, really?
Yes. And there is a thing where it seems really weird if you've not seen this kind of thing, but God uses animals with me as signs, and snakes are just one of them. And I've just done a video showing people this. There's always an event every single time that follows the rattlesnake sighting.
Really?
And every single time, the rattlesnake is directly in the trail, right in my way, and if I wouldn't have been paying attention, I would put my foot right in his mouth. Every time. And so I've caught this on video, and I recently have shown this to people. And I was looking for a guy this morning who I see out here all the time named Henry. He's out here far more than me, like you. And I was going to say, Henry, just out of curiosity, how many snakes have you seen when you're out here? And most people will say they've never seen the first one. And yet I've seen 8.
Wow.
And every single time. He is using it to communicate to me, sir. He does. And it's 100% provable.
How do you figure out what he's trying to communicate?
Well, every single time. I'll just tell you this again. This can be really weird for people that you just meet on the trail and they don't know. My life, I'm attacked by Satan more than you can possibly imagine because
you're a minister.
I'm in full-time ministry and I'm teaching people the true gospel of Jesus Christ, which is to take up your cross, deny yourself, literally obey the teachings of Jesus Christ, lose your life in this world to find it, hope for the life to come in Christ. And Satan attacks me relentlessly. I mean, just unbelievable. And so people will see in the video, there will be this snake, and an hour later, my best friend. So people will try to get to me through friends because they know they can't get to me. And there'll be some really inappropriate woman, some really, you follow me, really weird stuff that will happen an hour later after I see the snake. Every single time there'll be some sort of a strike, or I'll get some horrible email, or I'll find out there's a false accusation. It's just remarkable. It really is. So it's really neat that I just caught you. If you don't mind, I'm actually recording this right now. I won't use your name because I don't even know it. But to see proof that this is not a coincidence. You're out here twice as many times as I am for 12 years, and you've never seen the first rattlesnake.
Nope.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
But that also makes me worry because now I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not following. I haven't taken up my cross enough.
Okay, well, that's really interesting. That's really interesting because I've had people in the family. Now, keep in mind that a minister is always going to face more of it than a layperson. I mean, Paul said 2 Corinthians 4, we who are alive are always being given over to death. So for your sake, life of Christ may be revealed in us, for your sake, for your comfort, so you can see. So the ministers, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there's not a person that's ever lived that suffered like what Paul did in 2 Corinthians 11. You know, and Jesus said in Acts 9:16 to Ananias, he told him, he said, you will suffer much on account of me. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. That was a word God spoke over Paul. But yes, you can see that you should be at some degree suffering for Jesus Christ. You should be suffering some something that looks like Romans 8:17, I'll participate in his glory if I participate in his sufferings. There should be those afflictions. And what
this
you'll...
This is kind of timely because his mom just died and there's a lot of conflict going on.
Correct. And let me guess, at the center of the conflict is this thing called money.
Yep. Right.
See?
You're right.
It's awful. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. The love of money is a root of all evil. It's in the hearts of men. Jesus, the one thing he said that's the greatest competitor of your heart and my heart for him is money in Matthew 6. He talks about storing up treasures in heaven, not on earth. And he also says that no one can serve two masters. You can't serve both money and God. And money is a false god to people. And when you don't really know the provision of the Lord and you don't know his faithfulness, money can be such a powerful god. And you can do whatever you'll do, whatever you can to get your hands on it. May the Lord give you guys the grace to respond like Jesus to the evil that you're facing in that. I just pray, that would be my prayer for you, that Jesus will bless you guys with the grace. The Bible says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know that.
I was just telling them that on the way up. I'm like, we've got to go to the Bible for this. We got to
concentrate. Yes, on yes, it. Yes, right. So the good news is these difficulties you're facing are the things that humble the pride in human heart, and they make us dependent as little children. So just be, I know it's difficult, especially for men to swallow the pride. But yeah. Jesus said in Matthew 18, he said, unless we change and become like little children, we'll never enter the kingdom of God. So every strike I get, I just go on my face and I say, Father in heaven, please help me, Lord. Help me with this. Strengthen me with this. Forgive that person. God, grant me the grace to see this the way you see this.
Mm-hmm.
And Proverbs 4:23, above all things, guard your heart, for out of it flows the wellspring of life.
Yeah.
And Satan will use this to try to make your love go cold. Let me tell you something. That's what this is about. It's an attack on your heart to try to make your heart grow cold, because the evil of other people in these times we're living in, it's only going to increase. It's not just your family members you're struggling with. It's all over the place. The love of most is growing cold, and that's going to affect your heart and make you grow cold. So just be aware of it and trust that the Lord sees it and he'll judge it, my friend.
We had a big discussion if my daughter was involved. I'm really struggling back with my brother.
We were meant to run into you.
Yes. See, one thing you guys should remember, it's a spiritual battle that you're facing. The Bible says we don't battle against flesh and blood. The battle is not really with your brother.
Mm.
The battle is with the spirits that are influencing his heart. And those spirits are at work to truly try to rob you of your peace in Jesus Christ. I wonder if you'd be willing to share an email address, I will email you some of my videos where I've talked about these exact subjects. Just maybe some of it might be encouraging, and it's all right from the Word of God,
sure,
to help give you guys a little strengthening. I had everything taken from me, literally family, my wife, my five children, everything was stripped away from me back in 2012. And there's a story about it on the internet called Trusting God in the Storm. And it's my personal story that's been watched about 1,700,000 times. And
wow,
people all around the world have watched it. And they have found when they go through difficult things like what you guys are going through, it'll be a real encouragement. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. She got diagnosed with leukemia.
Who did?
Last Friday, my mom. She got sick with the hospital. They diagnosed her with leukemia on Friday last week, and 6 days later, she was dead. It was awful. Man.
It just caught you guys totally by surprise. That was very quickly.
Yeah. We were preparing for her to come home. And,
yes, yes.
When she's going to be released?
Yes.
Released her on Monday. They told, so the plan was released her on Monday. Then they told us on Friday the test came back, and she's got leukemia, and she was gone. And, you know, about 4 days later, after they told her the date that she'd be released, she was dead.
Wow.
I mean, that happened 2 nights ago.
Wow. If you'll hold on to the Lord through this, you'll see a Romans 8:28 good come out of it, I promise you. You will. You will. Romans 8:28. We know that God works all things together for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He'll work it for good. You have to trust him. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for running into today. God in heaven, in your mercy, speak to their hearts. Let this be used for their good, for their spiritual increase, their spiritual maturing. Help their hearts to grow in love. Help them to resist Satan and his lies and his attacks. Help them to overcome much evil with good. Let this be used for their good, their family's good, their daughter's good. Place your hedge of protection upon them. May your word speak life into their hearts, Lord God. Help me to remember the right videos to send to them that will be an encouragement and a strengthening to them in this time. I give you thanks for them, Lord. Thank you for this divine encounter we've had today. May they know this is your love for them reaching out to them. This is not me, a guy on the trail. This is you, Jesus Christ, reaching out to touch their hearts today. You called me up here today for a reason, and it was for them. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless them and keep them in your word, in your spirit, and by your grace. Amen. Amen. Well, you guys are loved and cared for. I know that the Lord is looking after you, and he cares for you guys. He cares for you guys. I'm sorry you're hurting.
That's amazing.
Well, our God is amazing. Don't forget that. Seriously, don't forget this. This is much about God's love for you guys. He loves you very much. Mm-hmm. These are divine encounters. I'll tell you, for 12 years, I've been having this kind of thing happen a lot. For 12 years, this happens. God calls me to the mountain, and I go, and I run into people like you, and something like this happens. It's the Father loving his children through one of his children. You guys are precious.
Yeah, I've always said, it's like, this guy's always so cheerful.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. So I'm practicing what I preach.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And you didn't even know I was a full-time Christian minister. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I try not to be a weird Christian. I try to be a useful Christian. And when God sends the divine opportunity, I step into it. You know, I don't try to, yeah. I'm so thankful that we met today. I'll text you as soon as I get back to my house. Okay, you're very welcome. You guys are loved. I just think you guys are both lovely people, and I know the Lord loves you very much. May he bless you and take care of you in Jesus' name. See you guys. It's Michael, correct. Yep, like the archangel without the wings. See you guys. God bless you both. Bye-bye. Wow, what a remarkable, incredible blessing God had for me today on the trail. Oh my goodness gracious, I'm so thankful that this just happened. Oh man, I have goosebumps from my head to my toe. The Lord Jesus Christ opened the door. He called me to the mountain today. And what is so incredible is I can be heard in this recording turning around on the trail. How many times have I done this in all the years that I've been out here? I rarely turn around on the trail. Had I not turned around, I would have never met them today. I got all the way up on the secret trail. It's the first time I've been on the secret trail in months. Oh, praise God in heaven. Praise God in heaven. I got all the way out there and I just decided, you know what? I'm going to turn around. Even the fact that I did a 14-minute video out there today. And here it is. I run into this lady I see, you know, quite often out here. And then here it is. They've gone through this tragedy of the loss of a mother very quickly. And now a fight over money in the family and the infighting and name calling and backbiting and the love of money. And it's really hurting their family. And man, when I was done with the prayer, he's crying. This man is crying on the trail, wiping his eyes and just crying. And his eyes are all, I mean, that's just incredible. Praise God in heaven. Praise God in heaven for what he has done. I just am going to shut my mouth now. I mean, here it is. Wow. I mean, what a blessing that is to be able to be used like that in people's lives and have my recorder going when it happens. A lady who's been out here a year longer than me and twice as many times per week as I have, never once has she seen on this trail a rattlesnake. That is amazing. That is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Wow, God is to be praised. I guess the only thing I was just finishing up in the last part of that recording was about that we have no reason to believe anything. And by the way, it's events like this where this lady just said twice, she goes, wow, we were supposed to meet you today. God, you know, had us meet you today. And you can see that the Holy Spirit had a divine encounter turning me around on the trail. And this is another one of those things where even though my circumstances look like I'm cursed of God and it looks like I'm stuck, you can see God by the Holy Spirit is still using me, still making me fruitful. This is one of those things that is just so beautiful to see that, and behind the scenes, and I don't capture these recordings when they happen very often. I just ask for permission to record this because when we started talking about the snakes, it's funny how her dog, otherwise I would have never brought it up. Her dog made me think about snakes, and then one thing led to another, and you can see Philippians 2:13 at work. It is God who works in you to will and to act and to speak. in accord with his good purpose. And wow, what a delight. But it shows that even though things are not going well, and I just asked the Lord yesterday, God, refresh our spirits. Yesterday, I just prayed. I'm like, God, refresh our spirits, Lord. And this will be so refreshing to my wife and so refreshing to me, it is now, to show that in the face of all this satanic opposition, and also the lady was convicted. She was convicted about saying that, you know, gosh, that makes me wonder about us. We're not maybe suffering as much. And so I wanted to be light and let her self-discover it when they go through the recordings. But I also, I didn't want them to be so discouraged, but she's really onto something. It's true that you do have to suffer. And then that's when they brought up this situation they're going through right now. God's putting them into a fire. And I'm just delighted to have met them. I can't wait for Lisa to hear this story today of what happened. It's going to be so neat. Praise the Lord. So, so very thankful for this opportunity. And now I just, it's just like a little kiss on the cheek from the Father saying, you know, I'm still with you. You're still my useful son. I still have appointments for you, divine encounters for you. I'm still using you, even though I'm still keeping you in prison. So, for example, if I would have left before then, there's no telling what impact this may make on them. While they're humbled, God has introduced them to me. When things are going well, you're not going to be very hungry to get pain relief. But right now, these people have come on to suffering. And that's where God can use me, is when somebody is humbled and suffering. These Bible Belt Christians get along just well, and they have good incomes, and they're very comfortable, most of them. And when suffering comes, it's a season to be able to be humbled and to learn and grow in Christ. So had I already left, I would have not been able to have that encounter. And maybe that might be something that affects their growth in Christ, their fruitfulness in Christ, or even, who knows, their eternal destiny. Who knows what God may be doing to intervene to prevent them from becoming hardened in their heart against the evil that he's now facing from the love of money at the family, and they're infighting over the inheritance. So we will see, you know, what happens. And trust the Lord, and I'm just very thankful for that. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for using me, your servant, Lord, even though I'm stuck in prison, just like you did with Brother Yun. God's still using me in prison, and he's having me make messages and giving me insights, and we're going deeper with a fewer number of people. But yeah, these are the kind of things that I would like to ask all of my religious enemies. This would just be one example. I mean, I have many, but many examples that I would give or things I would like to say, but I would just challenge in all humility my enemies. And I would say, can you send us stories of how this has happened with you, where you were headed in one direction, God turned you around, you had a real divine encounter, not just like, oh, I met a Christian today on the trail and they're interested in the same book I'm interested in, but people that are finally going through deep suffering, and there's a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, and God intervenes and connects you to them to minister to them, and they admit with their own mouths that it was a divine encounter. And I would just ask people, and you see the fruit of it, and you see this man crying, standing in the middle of the woods with his wife and dog, and he's crying. He's so touched. He's so in so much pain. He's crying. And I would just ask, you know, where is this coming from if not from the Spirit of Jesus Christ? How is it that you can continue to call me a false prophet, a false this, a serial adulterer? Does God really use serial adulterers like this? How many times do you have to hear this? All throughout my entire journal series is all these like recordings of, oh, I had a divine encounter today. Oh, I met this person today. Oh, this happened today. And all these blessings and answers to prayer. And what do people do? Because I hoped so badly that my second spouse, who became apostate after not listening to me or God, fell away and didn't come back, and because I desperately wanted her to come back, and because I had a promise that I was going to believe to the grave that she was going to come back until God told me to let go, and I was wrong about her coming back because I hoped that she would. Just like, wasn't God wrong? I mean, can't we call God a false prophet when he looks at Israel and says, how I hoped you would call me husband? Can't we say God was a false prophet? He hoped. Why did you have hope in something that you knew was never going to happen, God? Why do you spend all that time correcting them when you know they're just going to turn? I mean, I could just take this and just go way down all kinds of rabbit trails. God's a false prophet. He hoped that Israel would call her husband, and she didn't. And God is claiming to be omniscient. He knows all things. Well, why did you have hope for something you knew was never going to happen? You see, I mean, literally, surely it's the Spirit of Christ that just gave me that. But anyhow, I would just really want to have people see you will recognize a tree by its fruit. And I would say, where is this kind of fruit in your life with you chasing all of your doctrines down just perfectly in order and with your religion fat head? Where is these kind of things? Where is the power happening in your life? And they can never show you. Because as the Bible says, they are whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. They can't point you to their ministry where God's used them. No, all they can point to you is how strong they are, their academics, how learned they are, their favorite YouTube channel that helped them get all their doctrines in order, etc., etc. They can only point to word. There is no power. And they just won't admit it. And so they have to, and they hate this cross-carrying, self-denying, world-hating, life-losing Christianity. And that's why they despise me.